Thank you for tuning in to the Calm and Connected podcast. If you are more of a visual learner, you can find this podcast on YouTube. Either way, please enjoy. Hello, and welcome back to the Calm and Connected podcast. I'm your host, Janine Halloran, and today I am so excited to share this interview that I did with Joanne Crone. Joanne Crone is a parenting educator who helps moms feel confident in everything from raising empowered, self-sufficient kids to dropping the anxiety and guilt of modern parenthood. So she's an accomplished author, writer, and she also hosts a podcast called the No Guilt Mom Podcast. And she also speaks. So she's appeared in national media, and her specialty is talking to both parents and kids. And she has some self-paced digital courses for kids and parents in handling big emotions, creating a morning routine, and conquering the homework drama. She's a former elementary school teacher with a master's degree in curriculum and instruction, as well as a national board certified teacher in middle school education. So take a listen, and I hope you enjoy. Hello. Thank you so much for joining me, Joanne. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thanks. It's great to talk to you again and see you. Like, every time I get on, I'm like, oh, hey. Like, it's just fun.
So I know you're one of those people, like, I started talking immediately, and I was like, this is like a kindred spirit. I love this. Like, we totally get along. It's like distance forgotten, whatever. It's just really kind of fun.
I love, so like one good thing the pandemic has brought is this ability, like my podcast I started during the pandemic. So I got to talk to everyone, and like, you're all the way across the country from me, and yet we still get to be friends. So it's a lovely thing.
Yeah, it's great. So yeah. I really do. I think it's fantastic. So though, for people who don't necessarily know you, can you just introduce yourself a little bit and say who you are and what you do?
Sure. So I run a company called No Guilt Mom, and I've run it for the past 8 years. I was a former elementary school teacher, national board certified teacher, loved teaching, loved being in the classroom. But when my son was born, I just decided to take a year off. He was a July baby. I didn't want to start with a sub. And during that year, that's when I started my company. And I loved being able to work with parents and help them in a way that I really couldn't inside the classroom. I love the kids, but when I started working with families, I realized that there was so much else going on that affected the kids in the classroom, and that I could help parents parent at home, if that makes sense. So my whole goal is to help families raise self-sufficient, independent, responsible kids, and help moms do it with less guilt and less shame. Because I saw my mom growing up, she did everything, and I didn't want that to be my life. I wanted my kids to take equal part. So I realized that a lot of other parents felt that way. They felt they should do everything in their homes. And my goal is to make it so that moms feel good getting their kids to take on more at home while also taking time for themselves. And so that is No Guilt Mom.
I love that. It's so important. And it's something that, you know, after having kids, it like sort of shifts your focus. Cause that's mm-hmm. when I started, like, I stayed home with my youngest for a year. I took a year off of school, and I said, you know, what do I want my life to be? What do I want my life to look like? And thinking about what sort of role model I want to be. So I want to be somebody who is making sure that they're doing their chores around the house. I want both of them to do them, boy and girl. Like, I want them to be able to know that it is okay for both of them to wash dishes, both of them to clean the toilet. Mm-hmm. And it is okay for me to take a break, because I'm showing them that I take care of myself as well as I take care of them. So I love, 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 love your business and your goals in that. And then you're also an author.
I am an author.
Forget that.
I just published, it was my second book that came out this past summer in July of 2021, Me and My Friendships, the first book I've ever written for kids. And it helps kids kind of navigate that friendship area. Like, when I was growing up, I was such a shy kid. I went to a very, very small school. Like, 10 people were in my fifth grade class. 10 people were in the whole fifth grade. It was like small, Episcopalian, run by nuns. And we were all very tight. But then I went to the public middle school, and I felt completely like I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't know what I was even doing wrong. I mean, kids are first cruel in middle school. And I thought it was me. And looking back, it partly was me because I did not have the social skills going into middle school that would have really helped me thrive. And so I wrote this book with like middle school me and middle school others in mind, just giving kids those social skills, letting them know they're not alone and that there's like things they could learn and do to help them interact better with others and have friends.
Oh my gosh, that is so perfect. Cause you're just think you're just trying to like reparent yourself in a way. Like
yes.
and give what you needed at that moment. And I think that's amazing. And I will have to tell you, I love it. I've actually been using it with one of my clients who's struggling with friendships and that social cues, social nuance, because it's so tricky. And, you know, she's elementary school, she's going to be going into middle school. And so the mom and I have been really talking about like building these skills before she gets to that place where it does get a little bit more edgy, a little bit more intense at the middle school level with kids. Mm-hmm. There's like, you know, in elementary school, you very well know, like it's like a little family, everybody's together, everybody is friends in the classroom, right? And then that language disappears, as it should developmentally when they get to middle school, but it gets really, really tough. It gets really, really tough for some kids, and it can be really tricky to sort of navigate. What I love about your book is that you start with giving kids an understanding of who they are, like what kind of person I am, knowing that they need to be calm and be flexible because that's part of being a good friend, and then being able to know what they want in a friendship, understanding like, what is it really that I want to, what is a friendship and how do I get there? And you know what? I think that flexibility, that calm, that's so key in friendships. And that's actually how I started in Courage Play and I went to Coping Skills for Kids for that very reason, because it was like we were talking about social skills and it was that self-regulation piece that is so huge for kids. And so that's sort of where I like wrote one blog post and it sort of like blew up. And then I was like, oh, people really need this. Cause it's really key in order to help kids like learn how to be in relationship with other people. People don't want to be around somebody who's like making them uncomfortable or like having really big reactions. So I love the book.
Yeah. There's so much there too, because when I was an elementary school teacher, the kids who would have the most trouble, like outside of the classroom and on the playground, were the ones who did struggle with the self-regulation. They would get really upset and mad if they thought that their friends slighted them in some way, whether it was a real way or it was a way that like maybe they didn't fully understand, but then because of those self-regulation skills were lacking, it blew up. And that's something that I look to in my own kids, especially my son who has a little, we call him Fire Kitty. it's like a little cartoon that we saw. It's like, it's looking at these two cats side by side. One has the big eyes and like how I am when I'm calm. And then the other's like the cat's on fire, like one of those cartoon things, like Fantastic Four on fire and like what I am when I'm angry. Because there are skills, there are strategies that kids could use. And that's something I didn't know as a kid. I thought it was something wrong with me that I had really big emotions and I was quote unquote too sensitive, which, that like totally bugged me to this day. That quote, but people say too sensitive, you're too sensitive. And it's just not true.
Right. I was over emotional. That's the one I got.
over emotional.
Like, no, I'm just having emotions, I think. Like that, but I didn't get there until I was an adult to be like, hey, I was just having an emotion. I wasn't over emotional. I wasn't being too sensitive. I was just being a person who was having a feeling in the moment. Isn't it so funny? Like the things that you think of as you like get older and you look back and you're like, huh, that didn't feel great. I wonder what's that about?
Yeah. Like even now though, I'm seeing that emotions are really one of those issues that kids either are raised to allow to feel emotions or they're told that, no, you need to keep it together to make sure everyone else is comfortable around you.
Yes.
And when you try to keep it together to make sure everyone else is comfortable, it just doesn't work. And you explode in some other way.
Yep.
And so with me and my friendships, I thought it was so important first that kids know that they're not alone in that feeling of anger, that those feelings of anger are normal and that they could take steps when they feel themselves getting there, which takes practice. But that it's possible to not have the explosions and not have the blowouts, to remove yourself from the situation before they happen.
Absolutely. And the thing that I think is so great in your book is you have all these different scenarios. So you can really talk through like tons and tons of different sort of situations. And, you know, I use this actually with one of my clients where I was able to understand where she was missing some social cues so we could have a conversation about it. And we will continue to talk through these different scenarios because she's missing some of those things. And these are skills that we can build. And that's the thing that I want families to know is that just because they don't have the skill now doesn't mean that everything is like done and dusted. Like, we can build it. We can teach them. We can help them learn. And it's not going to be perfect by any stretch of the imagination initially. But if we take some like little baby steps, it's going to be huge for them so that they can find their people. And they don't need to have a ton of friends. You know what I mean? They just need a couple good friends.
Yeah. So that was like one of my kind of like misconceptions when I was growing up, that you... to be like a good person, a lot of people had to like you, you know, you had to kind of mold yourself to everybody's personality. And that's something I, looking back, I see that I did with separate groups of friends. Like I was a different person with each group because I was trying to fit in with each group. And so I would have loved someone to like help me figure out who I am. And like, even as an adult, like, I don't even think I really figured out who I was until maybe the past 5 years, 6 years, even just working in No Guilt Mom and helping other women. And I'm like, oh, I see that in myself too. I need to go back and do some digging and figure out what's going on in me because you see it in others. So like, it's just so interesting how when we're growing up, we're not told that what we believe in and what we feel is so important. And that if we share that with other people, we're going to draw those similar people to us so that we don't have to change ourselves. We just get the friends that best fit us.
Yes. I always think about like, I am a work in progress. We are all works in progress. Like I'm not fully cooked yet. You know, I'm still working through things. So like, you learn more things about yourself and there's like this self-reflective piece to the work that we're doing. I think that, you know, we have to sort of, if we're going to talk about it in a public forum, we need to walk the walk as well and make sure that we're doing it right. Like it's really tricky.
Like one of my, so I love like those personality quizzes, but like the ones like StrengthsFinder, like, do you know about StrengthsFinder?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it was big in my business mastermind StrengthsFinder and I took it and I found out that my top strength was an input. And an input is somebody who gathers all the information, like collects information almost to then use at like appropriate times. And it's something like I realized I've always done. Like I'm the one who like reads billboards, like keeps that billboard information in. I'll be like, oh yeah, did you know that? And I thought it was just like a funny quirk. I didn't realize that it was a strength. Mm-hmm. And so when we like as adults and like kids do this too, like you realize bits of your personality are your superpower and they're not like weird things. They're actually what makes you really cool.
Yes. And what makes you, you and what makes other people sort of dig you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you want to find people who like really dig you and, you know,
exactly.
And get you. And if they don't get you, they're not for you. And that's okay.
Yeah. And I think as we grow older, I know like we were just having this conversation the other day, it's like, I'm going to turn 40 in December. And I'm like, as I get older, I just care less about trying to make myself someone that other people like. I just want other people, like, I don't want to deal with that anymore. Do you know? Yeah. And like, I see my daughter and my son dealing with social situations. And as a parent, it's so easy to be like, oh, that doesn't matter. But then it's so important at that age. And it's your whole world trying to have that human connection and that belonging and to make sure like you fit in, that it's hard when we get older as parents to really empathize with their kids when they have these friendship issues.
Yeah. It's almost like we have to put yourself back in their shoes, but your shoes, like what you remember, what it was like to be in elementary school and to feel like you couldn't fit in. And so what can you do to make it? You know what I mean? And so, yeah, it's so tricky. It's so tricky. I absolutely agree with you. So what do you think? You know, when we think about some key characteristics of a good friend, what are those key characteristics that we can start talking about with our kids at an early age?
So the biggest thing in a good friend is that they're listening. They're the ones who are listening to what you want. They're the ones who are flexible, and flexible thinking is something I talk about in the book, where they don't just want to play the games like they want to play. They don't come over to your house and be like, I want to just play Minecraft for 2 hours and I don't want to do anything else. Or you want to bake cookies? I don't want to bake cookies. Like, that's stupid. Like, that's not a good friend. A good friend will come and be willing to do the things you want to do. And they'll listen to you and respect you and not make fun of you. But also, kids need to know how they could be a good friend as well to those people. And so it's all about the give and take and the feeling respected and listened to in a relationship. That's the most important thing.
Yes, absolutely. And I know a lot of parents, this is just coming up a lot again and again and again in terms of social skills and friendship skills and COVID and masks and all of that. Mm-hmm. So what do you think are things that we can do to support our kids as we're going through this right now? What are the things that would be most helpful for families to do, for educators to do? What are your thoughts?
So I think, first of all, just bringing up the issue and talking about it with them. That is what makes me and my friendships has burned a lot of conversations, with my friends who I'm like, here, I wrote a book, have the book. And you give friends your book and you're like, here you go. Yeah. But my friend Jenna, she has 4 girls and her 6-year-old is in kindergarten. And she says her 6-year-old grabbed the book and she was reading it with her sisters. And it brought up all these conversations that would never have happened otherwise, because it's really hard as a parent to be like, hey, let's talk about flexible thinking. Or, yeah, it was hard for me to have friends too. It's hard to bring that up. But when you have a book in front of you that is somebody else, it's an outside source, and the kids are reading that, the questions are going to come up and conversations are going to come up in the family that wouldn't have otherwise. So I think just for parents to, bring these to light, start talking about these issues so that kids know that they're not alone in how they feel about these friendship issues and how they feel about other people and how other people react to them.
Yeah, I think that's brilliant, because it is one of those things where, talking about coping skills, talking about social skills, talking about flexible thinking, friendships. If you are sitting down and folding your fingers and you're like, let's talk about this, kids are going to be like, heck no, I'm not doing that.
No, call it cringy. Cringy is my kid's favorite word right now. It's cringy, mom. Yeah.
Cringe. That's what my son says. Cringe.
That's exactly what happens in my house. Yes.
Yes, exactly. But it makes it easier when you do have some sort of outside source where you can be like, well, this is not me talking about it, but let's just flip through it. And sometimes it does, it feels like they're just flipping through and they're not really actually looking, but they picked up the book, which means it actually is something, because they could pick a lot of other stuff to pick up and they're picking it up because something is pulling them to it. So just by having that little piece of something outside is a brilliant way to start the conversation. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, I used it with your book, with Coping Skills for Kids with my son, and it brought up so many conversations about how he's coping with issues.
Yeah.
So just having that outside source is so helpful and easy.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So, I love to be able to have families have these dialogues. And creating a place at home where families can communicate well with one another can be challenging. So how do you encourage communication just in general? So we talked about friendships a little bit and how we can start conversations by having a book. But do you have any other advice for families? They just want to start having better communication with each other. How do we do that?
I have become a super nerd about communication, because I think that is where most of our relationships can be improved, is the communication. A lot of struggles in relationships are a miscommunication issue. And so I'm sure you're familiar with Dr. Ross Green, The Explosive Child.
Yep.
I read that book in the past year, and I just immediately latched onto a lot of the techniques in there and started teaching them actually to our coaching clients in No Guilt Mom. But it's all about really figuring out what our kids think of situations, because we make so many assumptions as parents. We're they're not doing their homework because they're lazy, or they didn't load the dishwasher because they're just trying to get out of it. Like all of these assumptions. And we never take the time to really engage our kids in that conversation and ask them questions. And so something I recommend parents do is that if they notice a problem either at home or if they notice something that they're having a hard time with, like getting out the door for school in the morning, it's a very, very common issue. Bringing it up with their kids, at a time outside of like the stressful situation. So if it's getting out the door for school in the morning, maybe it's like at bedtime, just casually being like, hey, I noticed that we haven't been getting out the door for school on time. What's up? And waiting for their kids' answer and waiting for them to respond. And a lot of times it's going to be, I don't know, or like, it's not a problem. But then digging in further and figuring out like, getting out the door for school is maybe something where the kids just don't realize that they're running out of time in the morning, or they just forget something. And when we find out those actual issues instead of our assumptions, we can then help them and teach them and work with them to solve it so that the problem gets solved and we don't have that clash anymore. So I think like the best way to do communication is just to open up that those questions and start asking kids a lot of questions. And trying to ask them with curiosity to figure out what's going on with them so that we can best help them get to the next step.
I think it's so funny that you mentioned Ross Green. I have two of his books on my desk right now.
Like, oh, really?
I have Lost at School and I have The Explosive Child. Because honestly, The Explosive Child, I read it like earlier in my career and it was life-changing in terms
it's
of like-
It's so good.
Yeah. Right? And just terms of like being able to think through like, how do we really want to teach our kids to communicate? How mm-hmm. do we want them to learn how to problem solve? Like it's basic problem solving.
And
it's treating them as a person with needs and wants and desires. So like, what's going to work for both of us? Like, and let's sit down and actually like, and not just us telling, but like really listening. And again, back to the communication piece, like what is a good friend? What is a good relationship where mm-hmm. somebody is listening to you? And that piece of Ross Green was so huge, especially like thinking about working in a school, working with my own children, like that listening and understanding where a kid is coming from and not making an assumption. Because it's very easy to be like, that's why it's happening. Like, I don't know why that's happening. And I'm always like, I wonder why. I wonder.
Yeah. It made me a little sad reading his book because I wish I would have read it when I was still a teacher in the classroom because I would have handled situations so much differently than I did.
I have to say, like, if there are teachers who love that, like Ross Green model, Lost at School is really great because he really takes his collaborative and proactive solutions mm-hmm. into the classroom. And it's a book I've read probably the fastest out of any like book for work that I've ever read because his story, you know, he's a great storyteller.
He is, so yeah.
Isn't he? Like, it's amazing. So he goes through and he shows you what it actually looks like in a classroom. With actual like examples of kids where it's not perfect because mm-hmm. that's real life. And I mm-hmm. love that about him. I love that. I think he might be at Learning in the Brain today. I'm going to have to double check.
We've been like asking him to get on our podcast and he's a very busy man, but yes. he has set us up with some of his colleagues. So we're looking forward to talking more about that.
Yeah, no, I think I'm speaking at Learning in the Brain later on this afternoon. And I think he's like keynoting. I'm so excited.
Really exciting.
Yeah, it's pretty, I'm excited. I love him and I love his work. So I'm like, my fingers are crossed someday I'll be able to like meet him and talk to him about it because I think it's fantastic. So
yeah, it's amazing.
It's been so lovely to talk with you. And just before we wrap up, I like to ask all of my guests, how do you rest and recharge?
So it's been hard lately for me to rest and recharge. Well, I shouldn't say lately, ever. Like, I mean, I never saw my mom rest and recharge growing up. And so like having to kind of teach myself those behaviors is very hard to give myself permission to. I just took a really fantastic vacation with some friends to Italy at the beginning of October. We planned it pre-pandemic. We got a really good rate because of that, because everything was shutting down. And when I went there, I realized that my best way to rest and recharge is actually to spend time with my friends and outside of my kids, because it's a part of my identity that I lost a little bit becoming a parent. And I didn't need to lose it. It's just I neglected it because I put all of my focus on my kids. But when I spend time with my friends, I come back just recharged and happy and all these great memories and remembering who Joanne is again before she had the kids. So that's like, just, it doesn't have to be to Italy, but just going out with friends.
Although Italy is nice. That sounds really lovely.
It was really great. It was really great.
But that's really great that you were able to recognize that about yourself. It's so easy to neglect yourself and sort of lose who you are because your whole sort of world can become being a mom, you mm-hmm. know, and they are very needy and they are like, there's a lot that you have to do and a lot of your focus has to be on them. So it is very easy to lose track of it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I'm so glad that you're getting back on track and noticing that about yourself. That's so great.
I'm just a happier person when I get adult time.
Yes, absolutely.
So I feel less guilty asking for it now. I'm like, I will be a better mom to you. I need to go right now.
Good for you. I love that. That's what a great example you're giving your own kids. That's fantastic. Joanne, if people want to learn more about No Guilt Mom, where should they go and visit?
They can visit noguiltmom.com. And I have a happy parent checklist for them there too. If they want to know all about the No Guilt Mom stuff and with some really good tips that they could use to communicate better with their family. And then they get constant contact with me when they sign up for the Happy Parent Checklist. So go get the Happy Parent Checklist.
Excellent. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the podcast today. And as always, to everybody who's listening, take a few minutes, have a little fun, and have an awesome day.